Good morning, Centerpoint community. Greetings from the Kingdom of Swaziland and a Loop Commission clinic. My name is Brian Smelsenbaugh. I know that I'm a name and a face that many of you may recognize, but I'm sure I'm new to some of you as well. As a church, you have been tremendous supporters of ours financially and prayerfully over many years, and we just want to extend an invitation for more of you to be involved in terms of what God is doing in this great nation to bring about healing physically and spiritually. We invite you to see a short video that we've included to tell a little bit more about the Loop Commission and what we do here in the kingdom.
The people, physically sick, desperate, no finances, hospitals are far. What do? They cry to God. They pray to God. So even with us, Loop Commission is touching lives, spiritually, soulishly, also physically. We deal with a whole man, total man.
Father, thank you for this day. We give you thanks for it, for all that you have done, for what you are about to do.
To the work!
Sometimes when we look out of where we're working at the outreaches, you can just see thousands of people. But when you look at the line, you see one mother, you see one father, you see one grandfather, you see a grandmother with grandchildren. And that's what it is. It's all about each individual being touched with compassionate health care so that their lives and their children's lives and their families' lives can change, not only for today, but for generations to come.
For the person who is in Swaziland, where help comes to where I am, it's nothing but a miracle. It's just a miracle. When they get there, they are wondering, will they accept me? Oh, there are so many people, I'll never get there. No. And we thank God for the staff of the commission. How cheerful, how gentle, how patient. So these people, to them, it is nothing short of God who have told the people to come.
When we first came to Swaziland, things were an emergency crisis. People were dying everywhere. It was completely earth-shattering to see what was happening in Swaziland. And then all the statistics came out that if something drastic doesn't happen, Swaziland will be statistically extinct. Over the course of the last 3 or 4 years, we have turned a corner. Here we dealt so much with care and treatment of people who are HIV positive. We are still doing that, but more of our efforts go to prevention of children becoming HIV positive.
Statistics now have proven that after circumcision, the rate of people being found infected by HIV has been reduced which proved to have the hope the future generation of Swaziland are going to be HIV free.
The reality is that it's going to have a major impact on HIV spreading in the next 10 to 15 years, because if a boy or a man is circumcised, his chance of contracting or transmitting HIV falls by 60%. 60. That's big when you're talking about a pandemic that's wiping out a nation. When we can first engage a patient on what they believe is their most immediate need, then it opens the door for us to be able to engage in things that are very difficult to deal with. The comprehensive healthcare platform is what's given us the ability to be able to have a tremendous impact in the area of long-term HIV prevention. And right now we're fighting for the next generation. Those boys that come in every day to be circumcised, that's the next generation of Swaziland.
We are literally on the crossroads. We are at the place where we didn't know we'll get to, but we are there. Now, we need more help, more than ever. They are not seeing us doing this. They are seeing Christ and Christ alone. Because this is not a company, it's not a business, this is a ministry.
Have your Bible, invite you to open up with me to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew 10, let's stand for the reading of the word. If you don't have your Bible with you, it'll be on the screen. You can follow along there. Matthew 10, beginning at verse 40. Matthew writes, "Anyone who welcomes me," this is Jesus talking, "anyone who welcomes me," or "welcomes you, welcomes me, and anyone who welcomes me, welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes someone known to be a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes someone known to be righteous will receive a righteous person's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is known to be my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly be rewarded." Real quick. Early on in Matthew's gospel, Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River. We see that take place. Jesus comes and he says, "John, I need to be baptized." And John says, "No, I'm not going to baptize you. You should baptize me. It's not supposed to be this way." And Jesus says, "No, you have to do what I'm telling you to do. Baptize me." So John agrees. John baptizes Jesus right there in the Jordan. And scripture tells us that the Spirit then ascended on Jesus in the form of a dove. And a voice came from heaven that said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." From that point on, Jesus went out into the wilderness where he was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. And then when he came back to the towns, that's what kind of initiated Jesus' ministry. In many ways, his baptism initiated his ministry so he could now go out and start publicly proclaiming the kingdom of God. Okay? We see John in that context right here early in Matthew, but we don't see much of John from there on out. From there on out, we have the Sermon on the Mount, and we see a lot of the things that Jesus said, a lot of the things that Jesus did. But then here in Matthew 11, we find John again, and things have changed pretty drastically for John. So here we are, Matthew 11, verse 1. After Jesus had finished instructing the 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor." This is the word of the Lord, Center Point. Let's pray. Lord, this morning, God, open up our hearts. God, our eyes, our ears to this word. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to us, God, individually where we are. God, that as a church, you continue to guide us and direct us so we can be about your business. And Lord, now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be holy and pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to have our kids here with us today. It's Family Worship Sunday. Every first Sunday of the month is Family Worship Sunday. So if you're here with us and you're fifth grade or below, and typically you're back in children's church, it's so good to have you in here with us. In fact, this is now the third week in a row that we've had some portion of the children in here with us, because last week was FX Sunday. So kudos to Pastor Ryan and his crew. That was an awesome Sunday. And then the week before that, we celebrated six baptisms together right up here on the stage. And our kids were able to come in and be a part of that time as well. When I sit down with someone who wants to be baptized, or someone expresses an interest in baptism, we sit down and we talk about what baptism means. It gives them an opportunity to share their testimony with me. And we kind of walk through the scripture to hit some of the highlights of baptism in the scripture. One of the stories that we always visit is the story of Jesus' baptism. This picture of Jesus coming up to this guy, John. And if you remember the description of John, John wore a cloak made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. And he was kind of this bigger than life figure who would go out into the wilderness and eat locust and wild honey. And he was just kind of this crazy guy. But he's baptizing people. And Jesus comes and he says to this guy, "I need to be baptized by you right here, right now, in this dirty Jordan River." And John says, "No, that'll never happen that way. You're the one who was to come. I'm not even worthy to stoop down and untie your sandal." And Jesus says, "No, it needs to happen in this way." And that's what happens. Jesus gets immersed by John in this dirty Jordan River. And one of the things we talk about when we talk about getting baptized is we talk about what's going on upstream that we don't even know about, right? I mean, not to get too gross or gruesome, but maybe there are animals drinking upstream from where Jesus was baptized. Maybe there are animals taking care of business upstream, right? Maybe there are dead animals upstream, people bathing, people taking care of it. We don't know what's going on upstream, but it becomes this beautiful picture of this idea that whatever it is that's going on in the world around him, Jesus, the Son of God, is literally immersed in that stuff. He's literally immersed in the muck and the mire that is the Jordan River. And it's with that that God says, "Now, go off and find that ministry purpose. Go out and do what I've sent you to do." And so one of the challenges I put before anybody who's going to be baptized, at least by me, is this idea that if you're ready to be baptized, you understand there's some larger call of ministry on your life that God wants to initiate in your heart for you to follow after him. And unless they basically sit in front of me and say, "Yeah, I agree, I want to start discovering what that is," then I politely refuse to baptize that individual, because ultimately it's bigger than just this idea that I want my church to know that I want to be baptized. Well, we kind of kick off baptism with that story. Well, something so interesting happens, though, in John's story, because John is the one baptizing. Jesus goes on and he starts making it happen in his ministry. He's teaching, he's preaching, he's healing, he's bringing little children to his side, he's telling the Pharisees to get away, the religious leaders to get away, and he's making it happen. In the meantime, there's this untold story going on in John's life. See, we don't know what happens between early parts of Matthew and now here, Matthew chapter 11. And the next thing we know, John ends up in prison Because John is telling King Herod about some stuff that's going on in his life that has to do with infidelity and things like that. And so they get mad at John. And it's because John stands up for what's right, they throw John in prison. Well, that's where we find John right here in Matthew chapter 11. He's in prison. And it's so interesting that this guy who not too long ago had baptized Jesus, who not too long ago would actually refute some of the leadership and get himself thrown in the prison, now he's facing the dark days of prison. And in fact, he wants to know, is this it? Is this all there is? Is this what I have to look forward to find myself in this prison waiting for somebody to come release me? To free me. There's a simple truth here. The Messiah that John was expecting was the Messiah who was going to come and release captives, free captives, bring judgment on those who were wicked, bring judgment on those who were in charge, and free those who were in prison. But on this day, though, John has a very doubt-filled question about the identity of Jesus. He was expecting this imminent end of this age where Jesus or the Messiah was going to come and bring judgment on the world. And he's heard rumors, obviously, that Jesus is doing some pretty cool stuff out in the world, but he still finds himself in this prison. Okay, can you picture that with me? He's in prison. He's hearing that Jesus, the guy he just baptized not too long ago, the one who's much greater than he is out there healing people, delivering people, freeing people, teaching people, and here he is still stuck in this prison having not yet been freed. And he believes that the Messiah was going to do one thing for sure, release captives and bring judgment on wicked rulers. It's probably hard then for John to hear this report from his disciples. He sends his disciples away with this question that seems to be laced with doubt. Go ask Jesus, are you the one who was to come, or should I expect another? Jesus, are you the one who's going to free me from this prison, or should I look for someone else? He sends his disciples off. His disciples go to Jesus and they ask Jesus, Jesus, John's in prison. John's done some stuff. It's got him in trouble. Now he wants to know, are you the Messiah that's going to free everybody and make everything right? Or should he expect someone else? Jesus' response is classic. Jesus could have given a simple yes or no, but because it was a simple yes or no question. But instead, Jesus says, why don't you go back to John and you tell John everything that you see and hear? And then he goes down this laundry list of pretty cool things. Go tell John that the blind are receiving sight. Go tell John that the lame are walking. Go tell John that lepers are being cleansed. Go tell John that the deaf are hearing. Go tell John that the dead are being raised. Go tell John that the good news is being preached to the poor. In other words, go tell John that when the kingdom comes, when the Messiah comes, it's not going to be going to those who are already there, who already get it, who already get it. It's going to be going to the poor, the blind, the weak, the lame, the hurting. And so that's where Jesus is. John's having this little pity party in prison saying, man, I wish you'd go ahead and come and do what I want you to do for me. Go ask Jesus, is he going to come and do what I want him to do for me? So they go ask Jesus, Jesus, are you going to do for John what he wants you to do for him? And Jesus says, no. In fact, I'm going to go to the places where the kingdom has sent me into the lives of the lost and the broken and the hurting. In Jesus, the kingdom has come and is coming. Jesus is good news. He's good news to the poor. He's good news to the sick. He's good news to the blind and the weak and the lame and the hurt and the broken. But there's a simple truth here, though, that Jesus may not be good news to the religious people who find themselves stuck in a box waiting to be freed. We already took up the offering, so let me say that again. Perhaps Jesus is not good news to those who are religious, who are stuck in a box, who want Jesus to leave his mission out on the field to come back here and take care of me. Center Point, where are you going lately? Let me say that in English rather than Southern. Center Point, where have you gone recently? Center Point, to whom have you proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ recently? Center Point, where and how have you found yourself in the midst of the lame, the brokenhearted, the hungry, the hurting recently? Sometimes it seems the captives in our world are those of us believers who find ourselves in a comfortable box, who find ourselves in a comfortable Christian clique, who find ourselves in a cheap country club that allows us to be comfortable Christians, and perhaps Jesus isn't actually in those places. What if Jesus is still out there seeking and pursuing the lost, the sick, the broken, the poor? You see, that is the mission of Jesus Christ, church. I don't know how to say it any clearer. I don't know how to communicate it any better. The mission of Jesus Christ is to go to the lost, the broken, the poor, the sick, the blind, the lame, with the hope that can only come in Jesus. One writer put it like this. He says, if we have experienced Christ, it is a natural desire for us to desire, to look, and to pray for his return. In John's case, this is not what Jesus offers. And in our case, perhaps this is not what Jesus offers. Therefore, in this time and in this world, we have this call. Live and proclaim the hope that can only be found in Jesus Christ. This is faithfulness to the Lord Jesus. Center Point, one of the expressions of going that we have been able to be a part of over the years actually precedes my time upon coming to Center Point. We got to see this morning a video greeting from Pastor Brian Schmelzenbach. And as he said in the video, many of you know Pastor Brian. Pastor Brian used to be on staff at Central Church, now today Center Point Church. And through a call on their lives, Brian and Missy's lives and their family, God called them into the mission field. And through one of the mission co-ops, through the Church of the Nazarene, they find themselves partnered with the Luke Commission in Swaziland, Africa. You got a great little introduction there about Swaziland and some things that are going on there. Over the years, Center Point has been able to come alongside the Schmelzenbachs in some pretty cool ways. You know, Cheryl, it was so cool to hear you all go talk about the history that's a part of this church. For those of you that don't know, Center Point's been around for going on 74 years now. There's a rich history that's there. There's a rich history of generosity. There's a rich history of Center Point raising their children in the way they should go and sending them out into the world to be faithful to the call that God's placed on their lives. And the Schmelzenbachs represent a small part of that. But it's a very pointed and unique part of that mission. When we think about the work of the Luke Commission and the realities that are going on right there in Swaziland, it's difficult not to spend time in Matthew chapter 11. If this idea that Matthew presents to us, and I need you to hear this with me, because I really don't want to get this wrong up here today. Matthew presents this image for us in chapter 11, where he gives us this idea that there's a believer, John, who's saying, here I am, Jesus. Why don't you fulfill the things that I'm pretty sure you're supposed to fulfill and come and get me out of here? And why don't you not only get me out of here, why don't you take care of all the wicked captors that threw me in this lousy prison? Why don't you come and do this? And what the writer was getting at here just a minute ago was this idea that for those of us that have discovered Christ, it's natural for us to desire his return. It's natural for us to want the Lord to come and put an end to all of the muck and the mire that we go through as we live life. But there's something that's going on that's much larger than John in Matthew's gospel. Is Jesus is out there and he's actually doing the work of the kingdom. He's encountering people that are blind. He's encountering people that are deaf. He's encountering people that have not heard his good news. And there's this simple image that's right there in Matthew chapter 11. It places this call on us. If we're going with Jesus, if we're following Jesus, are we with him? Right? Are we actually doing the things that Jesus would have us do? Are we actually going? Or are we sitting in our box saying, Jesus, it would be so cool if you would look my way and come take care of me? Very interesting quote I read in Megan Blue's office this week. It simply said, for those who want a helping hand, there's one an arm length away. This idea that I can go, I can do, I can love, I can serve. And one of the issues I think we run into sometimes in the North American church is that's their deal. Right? That's the Schmelzenbaugh's deal. That's their thing. Right? Maybe for our friends who are in the Creative Access country, the Applebee's, that's their deal. That's their thing. Maybe for Lisa Matthews going down to Devereaux, well, that's her thing. That's her deal. Maybe those who want to get involved at Good News or at Central Care Mission, that's their thing. That's their deal. And sometimes I've got to look in the mirror and I've got to ask, but what's my thing? What's my deal? How am I going? How am I loving? How am I serving? Because it's probably got to be bigger than simply trying to fund the project while I go about just living life the way I want to live it. One of the cool things we've been able to do over the years is help fund some of the efforts there in Swaziland through the Schmelzenbaugh's. I know that right after I got here, there's a group of you here in the church. You helped the Schmelzenbaugh's get this van, so that they could be about the business of the Luke Commission right there in Swaziland. Very cool opportunity for a group of people like this to be able to come alongside them and band together to provide this much needed resource for them and their family. My hope, though, is that there would be no opportunity for us as Centerpoint believers to ever look at the mission of Jesus Christ and say, well, that's their thing, regardless of the conversation. You see, because if you're following in the stream of Jesus, maybe even for my six who were baptized a couple of weeks ago, if you're saying, Jesus, I want to take seriously this life you call me to, then that means there's a call on your life to be on mission for God, to tell the world about the good news that is found only in Jesus Christ. I want to give us one more opportunity to kind of see some of the work going on at the Luke Commission. And then we're going to talk about a few things coming up for us in the future. So if you'll focus on the screen for a moment.
The Luke Commission, we are a nonprofit that is currently working in Swaziland, trying to educate people about HIV, educate them about TB, educate them about all the different health crises that are going on in this country.
People who do not have money to board the bus, board public transport to go to the city, will die in communities. So by taking that assistance, taking those resources to the communities, is proven now to have tremendous impact. Much has been said over the years about the fact that we stay late in the communities. When we first came, it was a matter of resources. It cost a lot of money to mobilize to the field. When we went, we wanted to make sure that we were utilizing the donors' money as efficiently as possible. But there's something else that happens to you when you watch someone who waits in line 8 to 10 hours to see the doctor. There's just no way you can shut the door on them. There's just no way. You just sense that if Jesus was there, he would do that very thing. He would stay to take care of the last person.
I discovered that they don't leave a place until everybody has been assisted. That is one of the most remarkable things that I also observed.
To be honest, sometimes it's tough, but we have to be strong and keep on doing, because that those people are waiting for us for our help.
Some, they stay up until midnight, still queuing to see the doctor. Then that brings to your attention that particular someone needs help.
People that arrive 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock at night or even later, they get seen and they get helped. And that message has gone to the communities. That's why people start trusting this organization.
This attitude that the Luke Commission is bringing in, today it might just be the Luke Commission, but those who are looking at it might inherit that aspect of culture, and it might change the whole approach to life.
The model of a group of servants that works together as a team, taken from the local community in Swaziland and grown and developed into a team that works very well and provides an amazing professional service free of charge to communities in the rural area. That's what we must copy.
The culture of compassion that's been cultivated over the years is something that we didn't plan, but it's something that obviously got ordained.
Two images before we talk about some nuts and bolts. We've been dealing with sickness in our family this week. Anybody else been dealing with sickness this week in Orlando? Yeah. It's kind of made its way around the house. And there's something that happens, at least in a dad's heart. And I know it happens in a mom's heart also. I'm speaking from my perspective, ladies, so you don't have to get me later or anything like that. There's something that happens in a dad's heart when you've got a one-year-old who is vomiting and taking care of business on the other end in a major way, and won't eat or drink anything, spits out her medicine, is lethargic, and is not herself. And you're like, what am I going to do with you? Because you got to get some nourishment. You got to get some hydration. You got to make this happen. And there's something that happens in a dad's heart, but at the same time, there's something that happens in a dad's heart that knows if it comes down to it, all I've got to do is throw her in the car seat, and in 10 minutes, we're going to be at the hospital, and things are going to be better. Because there's people there who know what to do, they know how to do, and they're able to make it happen. And in those moments, I have very high respect for our doctors, our nurses, our EMS folks, our EMTs, those people who go, and when the rest of us stand around and go, what can we do to help? They know what to do, and they're able to make it happen. In a country like Swaziland, not unlike a lot of other countries around the world today, those same opportunities are not afforded to the people who live in those communities. The way the Luke Commission works is what we saw in the first video was them preparing to mobilize one of their units out into the field where they were going to go, and they were going to set up camp. And every individual who wanted to come would come, and they would get a card similar to the one that you got this morning. They get a card with a number on it, and that was the number for them to wait for however long they needed to wait in order to be seen for medical care, for medical help. Anything as drastic as getting tested for HIV/AIDS to maybe getting a pair of reading glasses just to help them see better. And all across the spectrum there of things that could be going wrong in their physical lives. It's very cool the value that TLC has taken up by saying we don't leave the community until everyone has been seen. And they're in a situation today where they can see up to 1,000 people a day. Very cool opportunity to be the hands and feet of Jesus in that way, so that if any doubters came along and said, really, is any of this true? They could say, well, what do you see in here? People are finding hope. People are finding help. People are finding healing. Half the population in Swaziland right now is under the age of 17. If you heard Echo Vanderwall, she's the wife of the founding team of the Luke Commission. She mentioned that prior to efforts like the Luke Commission taking place in Swaziland, they were on the road to being extinct as a nation. Highest rate per capita in HIV/AIDS anywhere in the world. So they come, they can get a ticket, and if they can wait, the Luke Commission wants to see them, wants to support them, wants to help them. At the same time, as I've been in conversation with Pastor Brian over the last several months, I can tell you another heartbeat of a dad that I've been having in terms of the conversation that I've been having with him is this idea, this question, Brian, how do we help our people see a different reality of life in the world. And I said, Brian, I got to be honest with you. And she's here today. Sorry for picking on her. I said, I got to be honest with you, Brian. I've got an 8-year-old daughter. And if I'm not careful as a dad, my 8-year-old will grow up believing that life for us and life for everyone else in the world is Orlando, Florida, and Disneyland, and Universal, and Cocoa Beach, and all the cool things that go along with living in the entertainment capital of the world. And I said, I just need to tell you, one of my desires, one of my hearts is to ask the question, how do I help my own child understand that life is not like this for everyone? How do we get outside of this box, outside of this bubble, to realize that there are a lot of things going on in the world that we will never see unless we choose to see them, unless we choose to have our eyes opened up to them, unless we go, we won't see them because there's enough advertisers and enough producers and enough entertainment industry marketers out there who are happy to keep all of the happy, good images before me, and I don't know that as a believer I can live there. JV, amen, church. Come on, something. Do you understand? I'm not trying to come down on those of us who live in Orlando, but I'm just saying if we're not careful, we'll nurture a next generation where life is just a vacation. And you know it's not that way. You know there are things going on around the world that we don't even dare talk about on a Sunday morning. What does it look like for us as a people to be faithful to respond and not be cooped up in our box, trapped in our box, slaves to our box? We got to go. We got to get out. We got to go. We got to give. We got to love. We got to encourage. We got to support. Seriously, are you with me? Say, uh-huh. I want to talk about four options for us to maybe today begin to pray about in the life of your home and in your spiritual walk. We'll spend just a few minutes here. Four options for you to give. I've got some ushers that are going to help me with handing out this piece of paper here. I want everyone to give it. We didn't put these in the worship folder. Not everybody gets a worship folder. I want one of these to be in the hand of every individual before we walk through those. So Ron's helping us out down here. And some other guys, if you can get them and just start passing them out there. A lot more information that you can discover at lukecommission.org. You can see some of the reports, the amount of people they've been able to help over the years, the different ways that they've been able to help through the different tiers of medical help along the way. Some very cool stuff happening. We've been blessed, even in the last several years, to have Brian and Missy and their kids with us on a Sunday morning to share. And there's some things that are coming up over this next year that I'm very excited to tell you about and talk to you about. And as those get around, we're going to spend just a moment with this information. Put your hands together. Show your love for our ushers. Aren't they incredible? Well, if you look with me here, I want to present to you four ways that maybe even now you can start to pray and ask the Lord, Lord, how would you have me respond? And the first one is simply that you could begin to pray for the work of the ministry that's taken place through the Luke Commission, but also in the lives of the Schmelzenbaughs, and also to begin to pray for the spiritual and physical healing of Swaziland. Something I love about what's kind of being presented to you today is that this is not your pastor coming before you and say, hey guys, had this great idea, found this organization online. I think we should go and we should help out these folks. This truly is a part of the history of our church. As our leadership long ago reached into the lives of the Schmelzenbaugh family and they became a part of this community and nurtured and were loved along the way, and now God has released them from the box and sent them out into the world, we have opportunity to go and to come alongside them. And so far, that's only included them coming back to us and telling us everything that's going on. But I would encourage you, would you pray for the Schmelzenbaughs? Would you pray for Brian and Missy and their kids? Lift them up for strength, for comfort, for peace, for faithfulness in the midst of their ministry. I can guarantee you that because they are missionaries on the field, they are not without temptation. They are not without dark days. They are not without pain and loss and suffering. Lift up the Schmelz and Boz, will you? Will you pray for the ministry of the Luke Commission? It's much larger than the Schmelz and Boz. They get to be a piece of that. But would you pray for the Luke Commission and all that's happening in the lives of the people throughout Swaziland in spiritual and physical ways? Also, you may choose to give. If you go to thelukecommission.org, there's a lot of information there on their website. But also, there's an opportunity for you to donate online. And maybe you would like to commit something financially to their work. That would definitely be an option. Thirdly, you could encourage the Schmelz and Boz. And I've been in conversation with Brian over the last several months. They would love to receive cards or letters from people who love them. They do not want to receive gifts or packages, though, and that's pretty simple because they don't receive gifts and packages typically. Brian told me that the last two times somebody attempted to send a gift by way of like a package with stuff in a box, the one never got there, and the second one was an empty box that was returned to the sender. And so who knows where all those things are. Maybe the first box will arrive, but they would love to receive cards or notes of encouragement along the way. That's their address there. That's their snail mail address. And he says things could take anywhere from 2 weeks to 2 years to get there. But we'll let the Lord handle all that. Also, I'm very excited to tell you today that I would love for you to go. And so maybe you pray, maybe you give, maybe you encourage. But we have two dates established right now with the Luke Commission for us to get teams from Centerpoint to Swaziland. Right now, two dates for two different trips, two different teams to go. You can see the dates there. They are longer trips. They're two-week trips. We're talking a 16-hour flight to Johannesburg, South Africa, and then travel into Swaziland. But a two-week trip, one coming up beginning February 4th of 2017, and one coming up on July 15th through 29th, 2017. Yes, that is not a typo. It is 2017. Now, you understand, we've just entered into February here, so we're roughly a year away for an international mission trip of this magnitude. That's pretty good timing. For those of us who would be looking at a July date, that actually gives us a little bit of a buffer, but we still got some information we've got to get out. Here's the thing. I'd love you to be praying about how God would have you respond to the Schmelz and Boz, to the Luke Commission, to Swaziland. But also, maybe I would encourage you to pray about, would God have you literally go, take the time, go through the process of raising the funds to make it happen. We're going to have two informational meetings, and here's what these look like. These are, if you know me, you know I don't do the timeshare thing. Like, one way for me to get my wife very upset is for her to sit through a timeshare presentation with me. So the informational meetings are not timeshare presentations, okay? There is no pressure. There is no obligation, anything like that. However, I would invite anybody who would say that, yeah, there is some interest in being a part of a trip like this, invite you to two different informational meetings, one on Sunday, February 21st, that's 2 weeks from today, immediately following service, and then one on Wednesday, February 24th at 5:30 p.m. Those are not, you don't have to attend both of those. That's the same meeting being presented two different times and two different locations. So if there's any part of you that said, yeah, I want to know more about what this looks like, and is it possible for me to be a part of a trip like this, we want to sit down and have that conversation together. I will tell you, the trips are somewhat limited in space, and so I would love for us to be able to fill these two trips up. I would love for us to be able to call the Luke Commission and say, actually, we need three more dates. I don't know what it looks like. We're going to let the Lord handle all that kind of stuff. It's not about me. It's not about our NMI committee. It's about us just being faithful to what God would have us do and open up our hearts and our minds to some new conversations. Along the way, there are going to be some other opportunities for us to kind of hone our attention in on Africa. And so for those of you that are familiar with the geography of Africa, Swaziland is kind of this little landlocked country right down where the star is, right in kind of in the midst of South Africa, and just north of that is Mozambique. And but Africa is a very large continent. So we could fit roughly 3 to 4 United States of America just in the landmass of Africa. So we're talking about a huge area of land with thousands upon thousands of dialects and people groups and things like that. But pretty cool stuff. I just want to tell you about these meetings that are coming up here for these two trips. Also, as a part of our Lenten season on March 13th, we will be having the African Children's Choir here on that Sunday morning. Here's what that looks like. Miss Sherry Moser has agreed that we won't have Sunday school on that day. We'll have two services, one at 9 o'clock and one at 10:30 on that Sunday morning. This will be an incredible opportunity that if you haven't taken advantage of inviting a non-believer to church in a very long time, this will be a great time, great event for you to invite them to, where they can hear and see the love of Jesus firsthand as we have the African Children's Choir here with us. We will be reaching out to you in the congregation because we need places for these children and these adults to stay. So we're going to need host homes along the way. We'll be getting information out there to you about that here in about another 2 weeks. Also, on April 3rd, we're going to get to hear a blurb from Joe and Beth Heath. Many of you remember Joe Jr., who used to be on staff with us right here, and we prayed for a spouse for that guy, and he met Beth and from Kansas City, and they got married and moved to Kansas City together, and God called them to the South African field where they serve right now, the Church of the Nazarene. They're going to be with us to share a testimony on April 3rd, and then also looking forward to having Brian and Missy Schmelzenbaugh with us. At this point, their dates are unclear, but November, December time. So it really is going to become for us kind of a season of focusing in on Africa and supporting these two teams that we send out. This will be a church-wide effort for us. This won't be a that's their deal kind of a thing. So we're going to come alongside one another, support one another, love each other, and I would love to be able to have the conversation with you about what it would look like for you or your family to get to Swaziland. Also, because my kids and my teens are in here today, teens, it would be awesome if you could get to Swaziland. And I'm not trying to put pressure on parents right now. This is a conversation for y'all to have later. But this would be a great opportunity for you to see another way that the world works and another way that people live and another way that people die. Kids, there's going to be information out about that in the informational meeting. But for people who are under 18, that will require an adult parent with them as a part of that. But regardless of your questions, regardless of your hang-ups, our confusions, please be a part of those informational meetings and let us get that information out to you if you feel God leading you in any way in this direction. All right? Are you still with me? Say uh-huh. Uh-huh. All right. Well, let me pray for us, and our team's going to come back up. We're going to let you get to lunch. How about that? Lord, Lord, would you open up our eyes to, God, things that are so much bigger than ourselves? And would you give us opportunities, Lord, to be available to go? God, we sing about going. We talk about going. God, we read in your scripture the idea of going, but sometimes when the rubber meets the road, maybe it's faced with fear or apprehension or I can'ts. And God, we confess today that none of us are getting any younger. So Lord, on whatever level you would have us participate with you in the work that's happening right there in Swaziland, through the Luke Commission, through the Schmelzenbaughs, God, I pray that they would feel, God, the power of a praying, giving, supportive church. So God, would you bless them even right this very moment? Wherever they are, whatever they're doing, would your Holy Spirit right now just be very thick with them? God, if there are issues or decisions that they're facing, God, give them wisdom and direction. Give them peace along the way. God, I pray that we would be praying for each of these realities in the days ahead. I pray that we would be generous people, Lord, to support your efforts around the world and to support those who are going and doing. God, help us to be great encouragers, not only of the Schmelzenbaughs, but each other. And Lord, I pray all across this room right now that you would begin to tug on the hearts of those folks God, that it would be your plan, your will, your purpose for them to physically go and have their lives changed. God, thanks for the opportunity to be a part of a church like Center Point. God, would you more and more break us out of this box and help us to see our community and our city and the world around us as the mission field that you send us. We love you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.